MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Gerrit Smit, Head of Global Equity Management, Stonehage Fleming Investment Management. Gerrit, appreciate the time today. You put out a note recently talking around the sort of market volatility we've seen and how it, in many ways, it's kind of hidden some of the opportunities out there. And in particular, you referred to the Magnificent Seven, that forward price to earnings ratio, about a 30% premium to the rest of the S&P, that's Bloomberg data. Some might see that as, I don't know, expensive, excessive, but it's actually below the longer-term average premium of around 60%. These stocks perhaps aren't as expensive as they have been or could be.
Well, Simon, yeah, they are more expensive because, in my view, they're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We all know we're living in this incredible era of the so-called fourth industrial revolution, of which AI has now become quite a large, if not a dominant consideration. And the growth potential in AI alone, we perceive to be roughly a third each year on average for the next 5 years or so. And within that, obviously making the right choices, one can have very solid earnings growth, but along with that, the important point to make, with the right choice, you can also have very strong free cash flow growth, which we haven't had with the dot-com bubble. So that's really important. Yes, we're living in very interesting times with a very good choice.
I take a point, and particularly in free cash flow. In the dot-com era, as you say, there was no cash flow, free or otherwise, at some points. But if we look at these giant stocks, we look at the Metas, the Alphabets, the Amazons, etc. of the world, they do generate money hand over fist, which, I mean, Apple, which is maybe not AI, but they're certainly fourth industrial revolution. They're doing share buybacks. We're seeing the Alphabets, Microsoft, they're doing massive CapEx spends on AI chips and the like. They do generate huge cash and they are growing. I mean, they're expecting 25% earnings growth compared to a market of just 7% in the year ahead.
Exactly that, Simon. And a very important point to make is within Microsoft and Alphabet, Google, and Amazon, AWS, obviously, we've got the world's largest cloud businesses. And most of this technology-driven growth, and obviously, specifically on AI, that goes through the cloud businesses. And cloud is very profitable and very cash generative. And in those particular companies, you have that cash flow generation, and therefore they have the capital to spend the money to build the data centers.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for others that haven't got that cash flow to compete with them. Obviously, it's more expensive for others to create that capacity because they have to most probably borrow money, while these companies have got the cash on the balance sheets, along with the free cash flow from the cloud businesses. So that's really key in these so-called hyperscalers. Yeah.
And that's actually a great point I hadn't thought about. I mean, part of their competitive advantage is their size. Part of their competitive advantage is almost in a sense that they were early to the process. They're not coming to this suddenly now and trying to generate and find the cash, the returns and the like. I want to change track slightly. In the note you put out, you spoke around GE Aerospace as one of an, and I think you're quoted as saying, you know, one of the most exciting or optimistic you've been in a business in an age. This came out of General Electric. And it's, I mean, we know the business. It powers most of the airplanes that are in our sky. But the real interesting part of the business here is that for them, it's actually maintenance, perhaps more than the new engines, which is a different way perhaps of looking at it. But an airplane engine in an airplane needs a lot of high-quality maintenance at fairly regular intervals.
That is absolutely key in our choice to buy GE Aerospace. They've got three-quarters market share of narrow-body commercial flights in the world. Let that number sink in.
Yeah.
So that's over 70,000 turbines that have to be serviced. That's predominantly in most countries. by regulation. Mm-hmm. And obviously a servicing contract is not capital intensive at all. It's pure cash flow. And just looking back at the, call it the old GE, that is what Jack Welles, that many of us remember when he built up the conglomerate in General Electric.
Yeah.
He used that cash flow to build up other businesses and amongst others, even a financing business. Now, his second successor has unbundled all of the other assets. So we as GE Aerospace shareholders are now going to get all that cash flow from those servicing contracts in both the forms of share buybacks and in dividends. And yeah. we won't be surprised if their dividend growth can be in double digits for quite a while.
That is, I mean, it's a staggering number. I mean, 75% market share is absolutely staggering. We'll leave it there. That's Gerrit Smit, Head of Global Equity Management, Stoneegg Fleming Investment Managers. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.